Hello, hello. What is up? It is I, Dolly Dymovsky, recording a podcast live from this cruise ship while slightly inebriated. You're listening to The Side Quest, your weekly journey into video games and other stuff that are video game related. Hi, everybody. It's me. It's Dolly. I'm by myself. I'm on a boat, and it's kind of cool. I got a little bit of a headache from I'm just going to say lack of caffeine. maybe more like adult beverages. Anyways, so I'm on this boat. I'm recording a podcast. And I managed to get Wi-Fi on here. I'm on this cruise here, and I got Wi-Fi on the ship. It's not, like, super fast, so I've been trying to record and upload this, but we'll give it a shot and see if anything actually works. I didn't do this through Twitch because good luck trying to record anything on Twitch on a cruise ship. However, doing this on... I'm trying to see where the microphone is on my Apple headphones. I'm freaking into my Apple headphones. Whoa, it's loud. So I just figured I'll just record an audio episode and post it. Maybe I'll rip it later and turn it into a YouTube clip or something, or throw it up on Twitch and throw pictures of a boat on there, because that's kind of cool. Well, anyway, so there's been a lot happening this week, apparently. Folks are over at PAX East, which I'm kind of bummed that I'm not, because PAX East is pretty awesome. It's my favorite show of the year. But they announced the dates after I'd already booked my cruise and after everybody at Team SideQuesting was already super busy. And, like, seriously, end of February? Come on, guys. That's, like, the worst time. There's already a ton of stuff happening this week for everybody. Should have done it in March. End of March is pretty good. Or, you know, end of April is even better because at least it's warm then. But who am I? They don't listen to me. They just take my money. So I am gonna give a shout out to Aaron because he just wanted a shout out, I guess. He was daring me to record a podcast on this boat while slightly inebriated, and I'll do that again. Maybe I'll record more while I'm inebriated again later. But I'm actually in my hotel room in my stateroom, drinking a Mai Tai. It's like my second or third Mai Tai of the day. I have the news on, and I'm hearing doors slam all around this floor, but whatever. So I hope everyone's having a good day. Let's talk a little bit of what we've been playing, or what I've been playing, because just the we is I. And then I'll get into a little bit of news. So I think that'd be pretty helpful. Did I mention I'm drinking Mai Tais? I think I'm drinking Mai Tais. I think it's a Mai Tai. I had the mojito earlier. That's what it was. And I'm drinking a Mai Tai now. Mai Tais are really... Mai Tais. Wow. Good Lord. Mai Tais are sweet. Mojitos are sour. This has been your lesson for the day. I've been playing the Spyro Reignited Trilogy. And, so I finally got in. I bought that back in, like, I don't know, like December on sale, one of those Christmas sale deal things. And I thought, all right, cool, let's give it a shot. I've always liked, like, I really liked the Spyro games, the Spyro's Adventure, whatever those were, the Skylanders version of Spyro. And because the platforming is actually pretty solid on those games. And they're sort of the spiritual successors to the Spyro series, I think. Activision just kind of said they needed a character to pin a new series around, so they threw Skylander, Spyro's Adventure, and then they kind of forgot about Spyro after that. Although I will say the TV show, the Skylanders show on Netflix, was pretty good. Although none of you fuckers watched it, but whatever. Because none of you kept buying the Skylanders toys, all 8,000 of them. It's okay. Again, it doesn't... Visually, it's really nice. I gotta say, they did a really, like, great job, even on the Switch, although there's some kind of shitty load times. But they did a pretty good job of not just remastering, it's like a full-on remake, whereas the Crash games were sort of remasters. This really does feel like a whole remake, and it looks really good. Yeah, it looks very modern. I mean, the elements are really nice. You can switch Spyro's design, punch in a code during the any one of the three games, I guess, that are in there. You can change the look of Spyro to give him a big head or give him a retro mode or set him on fire or whatever, all that kind of stuff. So that's kind of cool. But it looks really good. Yeah, so it looks really good. Audio is really good. The actual gameplay, again, I go back to modern Mario games. So Galaxy was fantastic, but even more modern than that, I guess you could say, is Odyssey. Odyssey was fantastic from just a controls and platforming standpoint, and then you had New Super Lucky's Tale, which has been out as well the last few years, that came out on Switch last year, I think I reviewed it. That sort of captures that nostalgia from a platforming standpoint, actual control mechanisms, being able to land on platforms, kind of, control the camera, that kind of stuff. And Spyro hasn't aged well enough, mostly because I think if they update the controls to give you a proper double jump, let's say, they have sort of a weird double jump in the second and third Spyro games, and they have some weird kind of floating and flying mechanics. If they actually updated those to be more modernized, that would essentially break the game. The game design is designed around Spyro being a dragon that sort of hops his way around places and doesn't really have a big flame to shoot at enemies. So, yeah, I think that part of the game doesn't quite hold up. It doesn't feel modern enough. I mean, it's a nice thing. It's just a collection of three Spyro games. I really do wish that, like the Crash and the Spyros and some of the other collections, or some of those types of collections, the remasters, did what some of the classic collection, like the Street Fighter or whatever some of the other ones did that Capcom puts out, where they're actually including, or the SNK as well, where they're actually including artwork, stories, video clips from the developers. I think that kind of stuff, interviews, all that kind of stuff is really cool. And that to me makes it more of a kind of a complete package rather than just reissuing a game, and so yeah, I mean, these are fun to play, but there's nothing that makes me want to keep them around. I completed the first Spyro, although that last fucking battle of the game, you're just kind of chasing the. Well, let me take a sip here. Here's some ASMR. There we go. ASMR stands for also super Mai Tai ridiculous, maybe. Yeah, so that doesn't quite hold up, but I mean, it's cool to look at. Kudos to them for making the game look fantastic. So okay. Oh, by that, I got a sunburn right now. I forgot to mention that, so I'm scratching a lot. And I've then started playing Wolfenstein 2. I'm doing these on Switch, by the way, because I'm on a boat. Did I mention I'm on a boat? So now I'm also playing Wolfenstein 2, Wolfenstein 2 on the Switch. That actually holds up really well. It is funny though, because you can definitely tell which parts are like I've played it on was it Xbox One, I think, Game Pass, whatever, or maybe it's PS4, I can't remember. I played it on those, and the visual style kind of flows. So the what I mean by that is a cutscene flows directly into the gameplay without without any stopping or studying. I mean, those are the same graphics, the same polygon counts, everything they use within the game and the cutscenes. Definitely not the case in the Switch, because the Switch is all cutscenes at Switch are these pre-recorded, really nice, high quality visuals, and then it cuts to you staring at Anya, who's sort of your love interest, and she looks like a mannequin, whereas in the cutscene she was like this really nicely rendered human. So Switch doesn't quite capture that level of quality, but again, holds up really well. I grabbed the wrong Joy-Cons with me. I have my left Joy-Con drift on this thing, so it sucks to aim and shoot, but I'm trying my darndest. Oh yeah, Wolfenstein 2 is really good, and then I got Youngblood downloaded, which is the sort of mini sequel to that, where you, spoiler, you play as BJ Blazkowicz's Blazkowicz is plural, possessive, his daughters, twin daughters, I guess. So I'm playing, going through that the rest of this break. Yeah, that's all I've been playing. What are you playing, Aaron?
I'm still playing the same game I've been playing the last 2 weeks.
Oh, cool. Okay. What about you, Sam? What are you playing?
I don't even play games anymore.
I know, Sam. I know. Hey, what about you, Tom? What are games even? I'm playing Destiny 3. Okay. Let's move on to news. News. That's my way of doing news. That's my way of stalling until I get the news portion up. Because I'm actually staring at my phone right now as I'm recording and as I'm searching for news and stuff. So, and doing all that kind of fun stuff. I'm going to go to sidequesting.com. It's a news and video game website. I'll start off with the big thing, obviously, which is the everybody bailing on every press, every conference out there, right? So you had Sony bailing on PAX and then GDC, and then EA announced they're bailing on GDC, and then Unity and Unreal have now said they're bailing on GDC. EA, did I mention Kojima Productions? Little by little, everybody is bailing on GDC, and I don't really think there's a lot of stuff going to be happening, and I'd be surprised if at the time of recording this, because I have not opened up my app yet, my news app, if GDC has just been outright canceled. But yeah, Microsoft is not going to be there, Sony's not going to be there, EA, Unity, Unreal. When you're at that point, it's you know, writing's on the wall. Maybe you just don't have it. There was the Polish ESL arena live event that was essentially not canceled, but they're not going to, it's live in that it'll be live streamed. They're going to have a giant empty arena, apparently. Yeah, so coronavirus striking everyone. I'm actually really curious, again, if, I know PAX East has been hit a little bit. GDC is working through its stuff right now, figuring out if it's even going to be going on here in a couple weeks. I mean, stuff being canceling overnight, hours before it's set to go live. So I think the next big one that everyone's looking at right now is E3, and with the show already sort of lacking and decimated by Sony not being there and EA kind of being off in its own place and Microsoft really only giving Mixer the show floor, if this coronavirus thing continues, which we hope it doesn't, by the way, just giving the heads up. If this continues too long, then I would not be surprised to see E3 get canceled, just in terms of safety. But I'm all for safety, and you can't be too cautious right now with all of the stuff that's going on. So better to be safe than sorry, because last thing you want is something extremely bad happening everywhere instead of, I mean, this is a worldwide epidemic right now. Because this thing is very fast acting and so on. But I think kudos to everybody for taking those extra precautions. Not a panic, like maybe, you know, if you watch Fox News or whatever, or any of the other many media outlets will tell you, I wouldn't panic just yet. I'd just be cautious. And I think it's rightful to do what all these companies and countries are doing. This is how we stop pandemics from actually happening. Let's see, other news. Oh, that's a good one. GOG, good old gamers, I don't know what it stands for. GOG, giant ogres gyrating, has a new refund policy, which is, hey, we give you 30 days for a refund after purchasing a product, even if you downloaded it and played it. That sounds awesome. Except they didn't really tell the developers about their refund policy. So a lot of folks will play, the majority of gamers out there, I'm going to guess, are going to play through a game within the first couple weeks after they purchase it. And unless you're me, which is going to takes me 4 years to complete a game like Fallout 4. Hi. But the majority of gamers out there will play a game, like a big AAA game, for a couple weeks, get through it, and then that's it. DLC would be why they would come back, but I could see this definitely being abused. So it's really weird that GOG would not tell the developers and try to get some buy-in, because I think that that might actually cause some folks to hesitate on putting their product on GOG, which I think is still an awesome product. It's my favorite of the storefronts because it kind of combines everything, but yeah, kind of interesting. People are definitely going to be abusing it, that's for sure. Let me see. What else do we got here? We got Yacht Club Games, our good friends who have Shovel Knight and a few other games that way, you know, have announced Shovel Knight Pocket Dungeon. So that's kind of cool. It is sort of a puzzle. I know people are saying it's like Shovel Knight meets Tetris, but it kind of reminds me of more of a weirdly like Puzzle Quest type of thing. There was a game, and I forget what it was called. It was on it's on mobile, but you essentially take as you clear blocks and stuff, you get weapons and items and all that kind of thing, and your character can level up and do that kind of stuff. I think it's kind of a cool, interesting thing for Shovel Knight, which, by the way, they're also working on Shovel Knight Dig, which is their sort of Dig Dug Steam World Dig type of game coming up next year. But Pocket Dungeon is kind of a cool idea. I like to see them trying different genres outside of just the 2D 8-bit side-scroller thing that they have going on with Shovel Knight. So, that's kind of cool. Who knows when that's coming out, but I'm sure it'll be for everything at some point. Wonderful 101, which is, I think the Kickstarter is still live, still going on. we now have a date. It's May 19th, and it's, 3 months away? And we talked about this at one of our previous couple podcasts, where we said that they're so confident in some of these stretch goals, and they're confident in a lot of the things that they're working on with Shovel Knight, that I wouldn't be surprised if this game is closer than we expected. And sure enough, there it is. It is May 19th. So expect Shovel Knight May 19th. I think that's pretty cool. I'm sorry, Shovel Knight. Jesus, that was on my head. Wonderful 101 Remastered. Blah, May 19th, which is pretty cool. And that's a good thing. Also, speaking of the guys at Platinum, they announced a project. I think it's Project GG. As part of their whole P4 initiative, they also announced a new office, Tokyo office. Project GG, which looks like one of my favorite Godzilla characters, Jet Jaguar, which was, I think it was created by Toho to go up against Ultraman, but it never broke out of that one Godzilla movie, Godzilla vs. Megalon. But it does kind of seem like that sort of giant growing robot battling kaiju type of thing. So that's their next project. That's Kamiya's sort of the third in his hero trilogy series thing. I think probably Beautiful Joe is probably the first one, and Wonderful 101, and now this. So that's good stuff. And then there's a Borderlands movie in production. That's cool. I think we heard about that a long time ago, but now we get some more firm details. But last but not least, I'll end with Microsoft revealing new Xbox Series X details. here's what's kind of cool about this. So, again, Microsoft letting these leaks and these details go out little by little by little is really building up my hype for this way more than the PS5, because I kind of know what's going into it. And all these things are just, like, bullet points on hardware, but they're... I wouldn't be surprised if there's still something kind of cool out there that Microsoft is doing on top of this, but they're just sort of that inside baseball background info that nobody really cares about fucking teraflops. There's, yeah, we got 12 teraflops on this bad boy. Yeah, that doesn't fucking mean anything. Just give me games that run really well, because PS2 games ran really well. I don't think they had a single teraflop on there. It's... These are kind of cool details, and they're getting all that information out there, because when they do drop the console, the full console info, I think it'll be a pretty cool thing. And you get that price, that they say, oh, you look at all this cool stuff that we revealed over time, all this information, and this price is, I'm telling you right now, $4.99, maybe $3.99, depending on how much of this is going to be cloud-based, pushing a lot of this, you know, stuff to the cloud. But I'm going to guess $4.99 for both this and the PS5. And they're going to be adding a few extra features. That's why we haven't gotten that price and release, you know, that release info yet, but or that reveal info yet. But it's going to utilize AMD's Zen 2 architecture for that 12 teraflops. DirectX ray tracing is going to be there as well. and here's cool. It's going to be backwards compatible across all four generations of Xbox. So think of like what Xbox One is sort of doing. Let you play Xbox and Xbox 360 games. This will do those things and Xbox One. So always cool. You'll be able to just pop a disc in, and whether it downloads it or able to play it right off the disc will be up to how this functions. I'm gonna assume that Xbox One games we'll be able to play right off the disc, whereas the previous ones, the backwards compatibility will be running right away. So, with a little bit of a download. Let's see. And then, this is the coolest thing. and that is something called Smart Delivery. So, basically, if you do buy a game, let's say for the Xbox One, and frankly, we're not going to have a lot of exclusives for Xbox One and PS5 in that first year. Both companies have said so. But if you buy a game for the Xbox One and then you have the Series X later on, or there are no physical copies of Series X available, whatever, your game will automatically upconvert to that Series X or downconvert, vice versa, version. So essentially that means that you're going to buy once, whatever game it is, you buy once, and then you'll be able to play it on any of those other devices, whether it's cloud or Xbox One or Series X or PC, and it will be the best quality version for that device. So it's not going to be like you're playing the Xbox One version on the Series X or whatever, or you know, maybe there's a 360 version that's out there, but you will play the version that's designed for that console. So CD Projekt Red came out and said you're going to buy Cyberpunk 2077 for the Xbox One when the Series X version comes out. So there you go, that's the confirmation that they're working on a next-gen version of the game. When the Series X version comes out, you will automatically be upgraded to play that game on the Series X if you've already bought it with the Series X version. So it's kind of cool. It's what a lot of PC companies do. So right now I have the I have games on my through Steam on my Mac and on my PC. So I can play it on both, and it's higher quality on my PC than it is on my Mac. They kind of look like different versions of some of these games, too. And then, you know, iOS is the same way. iOS is all the way across all the different generations of iOS. Some games just don't look very good on the older iOS because it sort of stopped updating it, but you're getting that old, you know, iPhone 4S 4 version of Angry Birds. Meanwhile, you're getting the nicer version on your iPhone XS type of thing. So that's all cool. I think it's a really cool thing. And then one of the last things is they're going to have this sort of quick resume thing. So you can have a bunch of different games paused throughout different aspects. And this is good if you download a lot of games, which I think a lot of people are sort of moving into downloads. I wouldn't be surprised if that becomes sort of the big thing going forward. But you'll just be able to pause and then pick up at any point. And you can do that through any amount of games, which consoles right now essentially let you pause one game, go check out, you know, the digital storefronts or pop on some music or whatever, but that's basically it. Check your messages. Now you'll be able to pause multiple games. So think of like you're playing Resident Evil 3 and you pause it, and then you decide I want to play some Halo Infinite. You're going to start playing Halo Infinite. You're going to pause that. You're going to play some, I don't know, Plants vs. Zombies, Garden Warfare 3, whatever. Pause that, and you're like, I want to, you know, speaking of zombies, I want to hop into some Resident Evil again. You'll just unpause Resident Evil 3 and go right into where you are. So it's not like you have to do the whole startup sequence again. Da, 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 da. This is a pretty cool feature. Anyways, I think that's all I got for news today. Well, I've been talking for 25 minutes by myself. Yeah. It's going to take forever to upload, but whatever. That's it. I'll see you guys. You can visit us at sidequesting.com. You can find me at Dolly Domofsky. We're at sidequesting. And that's it. See you guys. Bing bong.